The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Ned CBD. Keep it simple, keep it natural with Ned CBD. And good news, animal lovers, Ned's full-spectrum hemp oil is not just for humans, it's great for humans' best friend. That's right, it's not just for you, it's for your canine or feline as well. Explore Ned's line of full-spectrum hemp products at HelloNed.com and use the code OLR at checkout for 15% off. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to PaleoMagazine.com to subscribe. The Well-Being Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorn Research. Visit our dispensary at OneLifeRadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the OneLifeRadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I am doing great. It's Friday.
Oh, my gosh. I know. TGIF, you guys. I'm caught a little off guard. I'm getting used to using my mixer, you know, and I've got headphones on and an actual microphone like in the real studio. So all these different changes, but we're navigating through it. And we're live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and on KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And so it's great to be here. And it is Friday. And I don't know what the weather's like in California or the rest of the country, but I know that it's beautiful here in Dallas. And I'm really looking forward to having a super weekend. I love rain and it's necessary, but with all my dogs, it gets a little muddy sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
Well, you know, and speaking of dogs, I've got Maura Davies on the line because it is Furry Friday. She is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. Their website is spca.org. And today we're talking about the signs that you need to know if your pet is sick and needs to go to the vet. So how are you doing today, Maura?
Doing great. This is such an important thing for people to know because pets can be all over the map in terms of illnesses and what symptoms they show. It's sometimes crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. And I absolutely, and right now I just happened to, because you don't have so many animals, one of my cats, Clementine, looks like she's lost a little weight, you know, and because she's already a little disabled, you know, her back paws don't work very well. And so she's got a very strong upper body, but we've noticed that she's gotten a little thinner. And so, and losing fur at the same time. And I thought, oh my gosh, does she have some sort of disease? But a couple other people that have been to the house regularly said, no, I don't think she's lost that much weight. And pets lose a lot of hair in the spring. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And she seems fine. She's eating and drinking well, and she can climb up the back of the chairs like she always does. So it kind of eased my mind a little bit. But you never know. So, you know, some pet owners, you know, they dote on their animals so much that they rush them to the vet at the slightest change of their pet's behavior. I've got so many, I really can't afford to do that. But so should we be hypervigilant, you know, about that when our pets are maybe having a bad day or we're having a bad day? Is it true for our pets?
That is a really good question. They can. Absolutely, they can. You know, I have a couple of quick stories for you, and they're both from my own personal lives, friends, et cetera. A friend of my family had adopted a kitten, and she had the kitten for a couple of days. She loves her cat. I mean, when this cat was a kitten, she was doting on the kitten even more because it's a baby, and she's just brought her home from adoption, and the kitten had had surgery recently, and so she's thinking, okay, let's just make sure everything's fine. One day she woke up and her cat wasn't moving, and she understandably freaked out.
Of course.
Now, later, I said, well, what do you mean the cat wasn't moving? She's like, well, she's all curled up in her bed. A friend of mine took her kitten to the veterinarian, and after like $2,000 of tests, the veterinarian came in and said, ma'am, you have a tired kitten. So,
wow.
We can all have a hard day. But then on the other side of that, my own personal story is my cat, Meow, was only 12 years old, didn't have any symptoms that I could discern whatsoever. The first symptom I saw is she stopped eating. I called the veterinarian that evening. And the next morning I took her in because just something seemed off, and it turned out she had renal failure and she passed away within a week. So it's hard.
Wow.
So, I mean, yes and no. Cats are especially notorious for hiding illness, and dogs do it too. So you gotta just be careful. It's tough.
Well, that was my next question. Pets can hide illness. It's part of actually human behavior, mammal behavior. When you're sick and dying, you kind of retreat and don't want other people around, right?
Absolutely, yes. Well, it's that natural instinct left over from protection in the wild. Any animal showing signs of weakness in the wild is likely to be either like pushed away by its own kind, attacked by predators. So yeah, no, that's a survival instinct in many pets.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's considered normal behavior when a pet isn't feeling well, but it's not life-threatening? Like, pets throw up.
Sure.
This happens to me all the time. We're like, my cats, you know, if I switch cat food, which I don't very often, but once in a while, there's two different brands that I use. If I run out of one, I run and get another. But when they throw up, I don't make a big deal out of it. It's like, oh, they threw up, you know, their gut microbiomes off or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't rush them to the vet. Should I?
Mm-hmm. Well, not unless it's, you know, if you're worried, always call the veterinarian. That's the first thing I'll say. If you're in doubt, just call your veterinarian's office and they can walk you through anything. That's just better safe than sorry. Now, there are some signs, like you say, if your cat is participating in the scarf and barf phenomenon, they eat their breakfast really quickly and they vomit. Chances are it's probably okay, but if you see multiple things going on, like they're not eating at all, they're not urinating, they're not going to the bathroom, or there's something more serious going on. Yes, but yeah, I mean, in a couple of times a year, pets are going to blow their coat, they're going to lose their fur. But if you see a single red spot that looks inflamed, that's worth a call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's tricky to tell. I mean, I have a lot of experiences. You should have seen me yesterday. I almost did the plastic wrap on my head with the peanut butter because yesterday was everybody's toenails day. Or day. Sometimes it does take me days. Sometimes it takes me 2 days. And I have to tell you, like, Willie's one of my best boys, Tom and Willie, that are in my my dog house. It's actually like a mini house for humans, but it's got air conditioning and everything. Air conditioning, heat, music, lights. I mean, it's pretty nice with a nice doggy door. But they're my two male dogs that I picked up on my way to Houston about a year ago. And they incorporate with the little dogs, but, you know, I've got the four big, large all-male dogs, and they still don't get along very well. Charlie and the new dog Love are starting to become friends, and, you know, they haven't mixed it up in a while. But you do have to be careful because a dog fight is brutal when it happens, especially when it's a big dog. Not so threatening when it's like a chihuahua going, rah, rah, rah. Do you like my dog bark?
That's what they do. It was good.
Well, what? Let me ask you this. What symptoms indicate an emergency?
Yes, well, there are some things that are going to be absolutely emergency. Things like a seizure, shortness of breath, a foul odor, excessively, anything just super, super excessively, diarrhea, the inability to stand up, a bloated, hard abdomen, really excessive vomiting also in addition to the diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
So those are something, you know, call your veterinarian right away. But if there are other less severe signs of illness, within 1 to 2 days, contact your veterinarian. Those symptoms can include like decrease or loss of appetite, decrease in energy or activity level. If they're hiding from you, and this is excessively, if you see blood in their urine or stool, if they're bloated, all of those things. Yeah. When in doubt, like I said, call. If you're in doubt, it never hurts to call and say, hey, here are the symptoms. What should I do?
Right. Well, and I have to remind everybody out there listening, we're getting to that time of year where the concrete is starting to get hot. So watch your pet's paws when you're out walking your dog. And my last question is, what are some tips on caring for a sick pet?
This is important too. There are some things that you can do. Make sure that once you've been to the veterinarian, if they give you medicine for your pet, make sure you understand what the correct dose is, how to give that medicine to your pet following your veterinarian's instructions. Your veterinarian will be there to help you if you need. Your pet, if they're sick, is going to want a quiet environment, and they even might want to be left alone. So make sure they have a spot where they can recuperate. You may even get more instructions from your veterinarian on that. Your pet gets a special food from your veterinarian because of an illness they have, make sure you feed that pet separately from your others.
Mm-hmm.
That can be kind of hard, but it's important.
It is. And a lot of times they're in pain too. And so if you think they may be in pain, keep the kids away from them, because kids really don't understand, especially if they're young. And that's one of the reasons when I typically, will place a rescue animal in a home. I always try to place it in a home where the pets, where the parents are either very avid animal lovers and are willing to educate their children, or I wait till I don't put them in a home where children are under 5. So, you just have to be careful, because kids don't understand either. They're just too little. But always
very
great, true. Maura. Thank you so much for jumping on the
Thank
air
you.
With us every Friday. You're welcome. And everyone, happy Furry Friday. This segment was brought to you by Ned's CBD, and good news, animal lovers, Ned's Full Spectrum. Hemp oil is not just for humans. It's great for humans' best friends as well. So get yours at helloned.com and use the code OLR for 15% off your first order. We're going to go to break. We're coming back with Autumn Connolly. You're in for a treat. We're going to do some chanting, and she's going to share with us some natural home remedies for flea prevention and ear infection, and I'm sure lots more. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Well, I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain. It's true. Baby,
One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have Autumn Connolly on the line. She's been on the show for years. I love this woman. She lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her 3 kiddos and all her animal babies. She is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. Today we're talking about home remedies for pets, and I can't think of a better person than Autumn Connolly. How are you doing today, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I love this because so many people right now are hurting financially, and I would love this anyway because it always feels good to save a little money and do things the natural way. So today we're talking, as I said, about home remedies for pets, and I love that we're talking about natural flea prevention. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, natural flea prevention. I mean, that's a hard one because fleas are really tricky. I would say with fleas, my biggest advice is everybody to plan ahead, which, nobody loves doing, but when you plan ahead and, every area has its flea season, but, a couple months before flea season, if you get a few ducks in a row, it makes things a little bit easier. But one of my very, very simple preventative tips for a flea infestation or to prevent one is a simple combination of diatomaceous earth. It's commonly called DE. And borax, which is inert. It's not going to harm anybody. If the dog's licked either one of them, both things are fine. They shouldn't consume tons of them, obviously, but they wouldn't. So what I typically do is I take DE, maybe a cup of DE and a cup of borax, and I put them in a little container, and I put it somewhere convenient in my house.
And every few days, I sprinkle it on, like, the floorboards, and I sweep it in. So, or I put it on their dog beds, and I rub it in with my hands. And what this mm-hmm. does is it prevents the flea eggs. So flea eggs actually are out in your dirt, in your grass, in your lawn, long before fleas ever make an appearance. So mm-hmm. the 2 months before flea season, what's happening is the dogs are getting those eggs on their skin. Even if you bathe them, they're going to stick on there. They're sticky little things. If they're getting on their beds, they're getting in the cracks of your floor, into your carpet, or whatever type, whatever you have. So if you put down the DE and the combination of borax, the DE works. It's a crystallized, a fossilized crustacean, like a little teensy tiny shell. And so it cracks open the outside of a flea egg. And then the borax, it absorbs the moisture from the egg, so it kind of dries it out and makes it brittle, both things acting as a way to deter the flea egg from ever actually hatching. So doing those two things. Yeah, doing those two things. If you just do it for maybe a few days in a row and then you let it be for, you know, a couple of weeks and then do it again. I like the number 3, so I generally try to do everything for 3 days and then I wait and see. And so that one step will make it so that the inside of your house and your dogs aren't tracking in tons of flea eggs. They're not going to hatch in a big volume in your house. And it's a lot easier to start off that way rather than dealing with an infestation that's actually on your pet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you next is because flea prevention is also a tip that I have. You bath your dogs a lot. Try to give them a bath at least every 3 to 4 weeks. Keep their nails mm-hmm. trimmed, you know, keep their hair short as you can, of course, without it being unnatural, because some pets need that double coat in order to protect themselves from the sun and just getting overexposed to heat and such. But what about turning this powder, these two powders, into a liquid and using them to bath your dog? Can you do that? And another thing too, don't you sprinkle DE on your lawn for flea prevention as well, or am I just
imagining that? Yeah, you can. You can put DE and borax, and you know what I've even done before is, you know, the type of salt that you use to for like a water filter or to like put on icy roads or whatever, you can sprinkle that in your yard as well, and that'll do the same thing. It acts as drying out the flea eggs, but it has the negative benefit of drying out other insects that one might like to have in their yard. So for my mm-hmm. yard, what I typically do are nematodes. And they're teensy, tiny, itsy-bitsy, microscopic little, like, worm-like things. And what you do is you can put them in the sprayer of a hose, and you just mist them over your yard. Again, prevention, something you do in the spring or very early spring after the frost. And you spray that into your yard. And the nematodes are actually these little worms, and they eat fleas and flea eggs. So if you have a high balance of nematodes in your yard, you know, I'm always talking about the microbiome. Well, it extends mm-hmm. more than just your personal body. It extends the entire environment. So if you have a higher concentration of these nematodes, then you'll have a lower concentration of flea eggs. So another thing that I like to do is give my dogs, you can buy them on Amazon or whatever. I don't buy a branded name. I make it myself, which is a lot more cost effective if you have multiple dogs. But you can buy these things. They're called flea treats, and they're essentially little yummy things that doggies like to eat. But they're really just a combination of B12 and garlic and brewer's yeast.
Nice.
Those three things together make it so that the dog's skin is unappetizing to the fleas, so it repels the fleas. So I make it myself. I buy garlic powder, and I buy brewer's yeast. And then I buy a B12 supplement, and I stick it all in my blender or my food processor, and I whiz it up, and then I keep a little scoop of it next to my dog food containers. I feed my dogs a lot of raw or meat-based foods, but then I also, in the spring, I keep kibble handy because dogs love kibble. It's a quality, you know, no grain free, whatever type one. But then I dust it on their food. So they get that a few times a week. And that way, they have this, you know, it's the same. You've heard people who eat a lot of garlic, mosquitoes don't like to bite them and stuff like that.
That's me.
Same with dogs.
I never get bitten by mosquitoes because I eat a ton of garlic because I'm half Italian. And people say, how come mosquitoes never bother you? I'm like, it's because I'm blonde. No, but really it's probably because of the garlic.
The garlic in my veins.
Well, you know, speaking of microbiome, and you mentioned Amazon, so what is the name of that product again? And I want to give a shout out for your product that's on Amazon and restores the gut microbiome, your Anvil Traditional Healing, which is amazing. Tell us a little bit about your product real quick.
So my product is a plant-based kefir starter. So it's essentially a way to create your own probiotic supplement at home. It's a way for you to get good bacteria into your system without needing to buy an over-the-counter, freeze-dried, in my opinion, ineffective probiotic source. And it allows you to get a source of live and active probiotics into your system for a very low price and easy and kind of fun to make. So it's similar to a traditional kefir, but to keep it plant-based, we use juice as a starter rather than dairy or any sort of fillers. It's just a really simple medium way to get you to grow your own probiotics at home. So actually, the kids and I just made some this week, and it's funny because what's so great about it is it tastes like a soda, you know, so you naturally think of it wanting it cold. But when you're making it at home, it's going to be room temperature. If you're using a heating element, it's going to be a little bit warm. And it's like I got this first scoop out of it because it's all bubbly and had a sip, and the kids both came running over and they're like, we want the hot kefir. We want it hot.
it's so good,
little ritual in our family to have it that way. So it's a fun, you know, it's not just teaching you to be your own self-advocate and take care of yourself and your family, but it creates a neat little tradition that everybody, you know, gets excited about a yummy, healthy thing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it is fun to make with the kids, and it's delicious. And you can get really creative by making lots of different flavors. And so, you know, I love doing it. I do. And it's really cheap too. It's like under $10 on Amazon. So check it out. And what's the name of the little flea prevention tablet that you were talking about that is also on Amazon?
On Amazon, just search for flea treats. There are several different brands. I've used them all here and there. If for whatever reason I don't have it put together, I usually like to have one on back, like in my back stock, just in case I've dropped the ball on making my own. And they're all really about the same. Just something that's a combination of B12, garlic, and brewer's yeast. And, you know, they're good for cats too. And it's weird.
Oh, really?
You know, cats are kind of finicky, but my cats eat them up. So, with the cats don't like the powder on their food. They like the tablet, you know, they're little kings and queens, my cats.
Yeah. We're going to have to put this in our book. That we might be working on, but we're talking about it anyway. Home remedies for pets. There's another one we want to get to before we go to your mantra, because I don't want to, or your chanting, I should say, the Moolah mantra that we're going to be doing today with Autumn. And I've got them all set up here with my mixture. I'm going to include some little sounds with it myself. But ear infections for pets. What's your quick remedy for that?
Quick remedy is the simplest one I got, and it's one I give out all the time. It's a 50-50 solution, so 50% water, you know, purified water if you got it, and 50% vinegar, apple cider vinegar if you have it, but regular old white distilled vinegar will work just fine. And, you know, a lot of things people don't know about dogs' ears is that the ear canal is really, really long. So by the time you see an ear infection up at the top, what it means is there's something brewing way, way, way down below. They're a lot longer than human ears. So the best way to treat an ear infection, you know, you can take them to the vet and all this, but I did that for years, and, you know, they just keep coming back. And so the way to keep your dogs from getting ear infection, especially if you have a floppy-eared dog, is just to regularly irrigate their ears before there's a sign of an infection. And just take a syringe and gently, you know, don't go turbo, but gently push a significant amount of the solution into their ear and, you know, really fill it up so that it's gurgling, it's bubbling back up out at you. That's the irrigating part of it. And then you just take your thumb and massage right behind their ear, kind of almost maybe about inch or, you know, depending on the dog size, a little ways below their jawbone behind their ear. And that's actually where the base of their ear canal is. And if you rub that, it allows the solution to get in there. And what it's doing is it's rebalancing the pH of the dog's ear. So dogs that suffer from chronic ear infections, it's usually just an imbalance of the flora in their ear canal. It could be a number of things, food, diet, allergies, whatever. And, you know, just the fact that a lot of floppy-eared dogs have their ears down creates a moist environment. But by using a 50-50 water and vinegar solution, it rebalances that pH so that the good bacteria grow in there rather than the bad bacteria. And it makes a huge difference. I can't even stress it enough for any dog owner that's been dealing with chronic ear infections in dogs. You know, you feel so bad for them, and it's expensive and it's inconvenient, and they're uncomfortable, and nobody loves shoving stuff in their dog's ears. So if it's just something you make a habit of, again, it's something I'll do with my floppy-eared puppies for 3 days in a row. Kind of just whenever I think about it. I probably, if I had to guess, it's maybe on every other month sort of thing that I do. And then the ear infections go away almost like magic. If they have a current ear infection, you can do it as well. And you'll see a pretty immediate result.
All right. Well, speaking of magic.
Yes.
Did you like that? Speaking of magic, and I want let's go to your chanting before we run out of time. We're going to do a little chant today, and this is to heal everyone out there that maybe right. This is a mantra called Mula Mantra, and explain it to us before you go into it. We have about a minute.
The Mula Mantra is really just for to ease the, you know, the suffering and the hardships of anyone, really. And if you put the intention of it into animals, you know, it can help not just your own animals, but animals, you know, in the world. And so it's simply opening up the God source. It's asking your God source, whoever it is that you believe in or whatever entity you want to come down and protect you and ease your suffering and open your heart to the limitless joy that is truly all around us, animals included.
I love it. That's so beautiful. Okay. Let me give you your introduction now. My next trick here in my bag. Hold on.
Okay, so everybody close your eyes and take a nice deep breath. Om Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatama Shri Bhagavate Sumata Shri Bhagavate Namaha Om Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Shuma Paramatama Shri Bhagavate Samita Shri Bhagavate Namaha Om Satchitananda Parabrahma Purusha Shuma Paramatama Shri Bhagavate Samita Shri Bhagavate Namaha Hare Om Tat Sat. Hare Om Tat Sat. Hare Om Tat Sat. Hare Om Tat Sat.
There you go.
I hope that helps everybody a little.
It does. Autumn Connolly, thank you so much. You can find her product, Anvil Traditional Healing, on Amazon. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, and have a great day. Appreciate you jumping
thank
on
you
with
too.
Us. What fun.
Bye-bye.
And what great information, I might add. We'll talk to you soon. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got more coming up with Sam Morris. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Making all that noise, 'cause they found new toys.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and our special guest continuing on here, TGIF, everyone, Sam Morris. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project, an interactive web-based personal development program for men wanting to slay their mental dragons of depression, anxiety, and addiction. He is a certified personal development coach, recovery consultant, and health coach. His website is themanunbreakable.com. That's themanunbreakable.com. You can follow Sam for daily wisdom at hashtag manunbreakable and at hashtag slay dragons. Always a pleasure. Let's slay some dragons here today. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Bernadette? Great to talk to you.
I'm good. It's always great to have you on the show. It is. And I love the topic today. And the topic is the negative impact of stuffing our feelings. Everyone out there can relate to this. I think it's something that perhaps we maybe even do daily if we're being impeccable with our word, right? Some of it is good and some of it is bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something to be said for being able to handle the emotions and not stuffing them. But when you start to stuff, you know, I compare it a lot of times to a beach ball. It's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. It's just not going to – you can sit on it. You can stand on it. You can press it down. But eventually that beach ball is going to maneuver itself and pop back up, and it's going to be very – it's going to be uncomfortable to get the water splash in your face. And those are the emotions. Every time you push one down, even if it's something that seems small, the more you push it down, the more air you're putting into that beach ball.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually, because negative feelings and emotions are something, like I said, that we all deal with daily. No matter how wonderful your life is, whether it be just in traffic, just traveling from A to B sometimes can cause you to have negative feelings and emotions. So how do these feelings carry over into our everyday life, though, if we do try to stuff them instead of dealing with them?
So they cause explosions. So, you know, it's like when the example of sitting in traffic or driving to and from work, you know, you're not really annoyed at the person that's going slow in the left lane. It's there's something else that you stuffed previously that's building up and then building up and bothering you and gnawing at you. And then you might explode and have some road rage, or even worse, like in a close family setting, you know, if your wife or your kids do something to slightly annoy you and you go off on them because really something that you stuff down that you're not addressing, that you're not looking at, that's the equivalent of a beach ball coming back up out of the water, is when you blow up at your wife for no reason or blow up at your partner for no reason. When you've been stuffing that negative emotion, it takes so much energy that it just looks for the little bit of relief that could be anything, most likely the people closest to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny, like, so, and that's a great analogy, too, because often, most times, when somebody will pick at you for little things, it's really something big festering down deep inside, right? That they have not shared with you.
Yeah, and it's very, like, so if it's a close family member, they're very rarely the real reason why. They're just the easiest outlet. You know, the real reason why is something big that's bothering them about themselves, an insecurity, a fear, some sort of comparison that they're making to other people, something that's bothering them internally. Will find the littlest thing, the littlest window to creep through and attack other people.
Yeah. Well, how do we even begin to inventory all the stuffed feelings and negative emotions and traumatic events, you know, that we've collected and stuffed down all of our lives? I mean, there's literally tens of thousands of them for most people, right?
Yeah. There can be a lot, depending on how old you are and how much stuffing you've done. There can be quite a bit. So the idea is that I like to do it this way. What I like to do is, we all know the big ones that are like the ones that we wake up with and the ones that we go to sleep with. You know, handle those first. Handle the big ones that take up the most bandwidth, the most energy, the most air in that beach ball, and handle those first. Look at those, talk about them, see why they're really there, see where they came from. Are they core beliefs? Are they some heartbreak from high school? What's really going on with that big, huge negative emotion or self-sabotaging behavior that you're stuffing? And then once you start handling the big stuff, it breeds room for the other stuff to kind of come to the surface. But the other stuff doesn't have quite the impact on you. So once you handle all that big stuff, the other stuff comes up and you can handle it much better because you have the bandwidth now.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've never thought about that, really, just like pinpointed it like you just did. The stuff that you that you fall asleep thinking about, and the stuff that you think about first thing in the morning, that's a strong indicator of something that needs addressed, and the quicker the better, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, I'll give you the science on it. You know, they always say like the softest pillow is a clear conscience. You know, when you go to sleep with that thought, that racing mind, that you don't get good sleep. You don't get deep REM sleep. And then when you wake up immediately with that thing on your mind again, you know, you're immediately into a fight or flight response. You're immediately, your cortisol's jacked up right from the second you wake up. So your circadian rhythms are messed up. Your stress levels are messed up. And then to start the day in that state, it just leads to almost a panicked, chaotic day for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you deal with, with these mental dragons, if you will, of depression, anxiety, and addiction, which so many
right.
people struggle with. It can be really intense. And so, you know, how do you best broach a subject with someone that's something like you really don't like about their behavior that you want to help them change? What's the best way to broach it?
Well, the first thing is always start with you. Right. So understand why that behavior of theirs affects you the way it does. You know, everyone's a mirror. You know, you spot it, you got it. You can say a ton of things in that respect, but make sure that you're clear as to why that behavior bothers you. You know, is it something about you that you don't like about yourself? First of all, so start with you, clear your side of the street, get clear on what it is, how it affects you, and then approach the person in that manner from your perspective. Don't attack them. Don't say, you do this makes me feel like this. You just say, like, you know what, like, I've been experiencing something like, you know, I've been experiencing some tension from you recently. I was wondering what's going on and why you're so short with me recently. And just say that, mm-hmm. just approach it as my experience. So you're not necessarily saying that they're a mean person or they're a bad person, because you don't want to attack. You know, anytime you come in guns blazing, you're going to receive guns blazing back. So the softer
Absolutely.
And the warmer you can come in, and from the most compassion and understanding, that you've done the work on yourself, that you've understood that why this affects you the way it does, and then go to them with that mm-hmm. information and be open to hearing what they have to say.
Well, yeah, and if you put people on the defense, you're not going to get anywhere.
It's just
going to cause more. You're never going to get to the very root of it. This is such a fascinating subject, and I love talking about this with you. We're on the line here with Sam Morris. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more about the negative impact of stuffing our feelings with Sam Morris. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Dance.
Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
They like that.
Party.
Let me hit that.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Oh, wow. So welcome back. What a great way to bring in Friday with a little Tupac. You're listening to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Sam Morris. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project, an interactive web-based personal development program for men wanting to slay their mental dragons of depression, anxiety, and addiction. He is a certified personal development coach, recovery consultant, and health coach. You can find him at his website, themanunbreakable.com. That's themanunbreakable.com. We're continuing our conversation about the negative impact of stuffing our feelings. So do we need a professional to dig up and work through these stuffed feelings, Sam?
Helps. You know, you can read a lot of books about it. You can have the guidance from, you know, worksheets or workshops or stuff like that. But when you're really dealing with the deep set of underlying issues that happen with negative emotions, the real reasons, the root causes of them, know, it's very, very, very helpful to have someone, another set of eyes that have been trained to look at the things that you can't see. Because basically, you know, you've been, if someone's 45 years old, they may have been operating for 25 years under one assumption about something when they just can't see what the real cause of it is. So they're doomed to repeat it. So until you get some professional help and another set of eyes on it, you're running the risk of repeating the same behaviors over and over.
Yeah, and doing more damage. And so yeah, right. I always believe in bringing a professional in, whether it's fixing your pool or fixing your head, fixing your head. But they're working on my pool right now. That's why I said that. But what happens once we release these? Yeah, I got to get the pool ready. I could use a little splashing around with my beach ball. To go back to what you talked about, comparing this squishing your feelings to a beach ball. So let's go over that again for maybe people just now joining us on this broadcast.
Yeah, so if you think about it, if you're in the water, in the river or the lake or the pool or whatever it is, and you have a beach ball and you're trying to keep it underwater, it's a fruitless fight because the beach ball has the air in it that's going to always want to come to the surface. So you can sit on it, you can push it away, you can push it down, you can do all the things you want to try and keep it underwater, but eventually that beach ball is always going to come back up and splash you. And that's the equivalent of stuffing negative emotions. And then when the beach ball comes back up and splashes you and pops out of the water, that's the equivalent of you lashing out at a loved one or you lashing out at somebody at work or reacting to something that's really insignificant. But because you've been stuffing the emotions, it's created so much force and so much pressure that just has to have somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm. It's important. It is. And so what happens once we release these negative feelings and emotions?
Oh, you know, that's where growth happens. That's when you start to realize, you know, how these negative emotions, negative behaviors, negative thoughts have been affecting you all along. And once you start to realize the patterns that they've caused, the negative patterns, I like to call them the always outcomes, whether it's, you know, I always get fired from my job or girls always break up with me or anything that you can mention that would be a similar outcome along the way. Once you get rid of the negative thought patterns behind it and the negative emotions that always come up, you know, you can't unsee it. So therefore, going forward, you'll have so much pride in how you feel and so much energy and so much freedom in your own head that you just won't want to go backwards. You'll see the value in addressing those feelings when they come up as opposed to stuffing them.
Well, yeah, and you said that's where the growth happens. And growth is never comfortable. And that's really what stops people from continuing forward because they get so uncomfortable and so uneasy. It's painful to address yourself and issues that you have and maybe bad behavior that you've been exhibiting for years. But once you do, when you have that growth, you can incredible things can happen in your, you said close family setting is, or our relationships are very difficult in circumstances like this, but the growth that happens is so remarkable when that healing takes place.
Yeah, it just opens up so much free space. You know, you have more space for love. You have more space for connection, more space for purpose, more space for enjoyment. You know, like you think about it, if you're stuffing negative emotions and you go on a vacation with your family, you're going to spend half the time at the beach worrying about work or worrying about this or that.
Yeah.
If you have addressed those feelings, you can be fully present and fully enjoy that time with your family or your friends or whatever it is, because if those negative emotions are lingering, you're not going to really enjoy anything.
Yeah, that's so true. And so what can we do? Because I don't want to run out of time before we have a little solution here. We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Can we do anything to prevent stuffing our negative experiences while they're happening?
Yeah, so while they're happening, what you can do is, you know, I'm always a big fan of the word pause. Take a minute, take a breath, understand why this is affecting you the way it is. So this is where you have to do the initial work to understand why you react the way you do. Why is this a negative emotion? Why is this showing up to me and making me feel this way? And once you do that, then you can learn to take a pause and take a step back and say, what is it about me? What's going on with me? What else is going on? You know, what's triggering this? Where is this emotion coming from? And then once you can rapidly process that, you can move through the negative emotions pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would agree. And we're going to hear the music here in just a second, but should we always be evaluating ourselves for these negative feelings?
Yeah, always. Always be vigilant about, you know, when you feel that irritability or that agitation. Those are the first signs of it, is the, you know, irritability with something seemingly insignificant. But be mindful of it, stay present to it, and always be aware of how things affect you.
All right. Sam Morris, love having you on the show. Thank you so much. I know that our listeners really love our segments with you. You can find Sam at themanunbreakable.com. That's themanunbreakable.com. Thank you so much again, Sam. You have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, you too, Bernadette. Great to be on.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Get out there and try to have some fun this weekend. Relieve some of that stress and... because it's important. It really is. You only get one body, one mind, and one life, and wellness changes everything. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.